All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're all in studio. Training camp
has
come to an end.
We're back in studio.
We are.
Forever. Well, until next week, we're in Circa in Las Vegas.
I can't wait for that.
Starting next Thursday's show. Mm-hmm. Alex and I actually fly out Wednesday.
Yes.
But we'll be there. We'll be out there. Come join us if you guys are interested. Contest weekend, if you're signing up for Circa Millions, I'll just tell you right now, or you're a Circa survivor, no better time to do it than next week when they already have the event stuff around it.
Yeah, you have till the 3rd. You have till the 3rd to sign up if you got another trip planned to Vegas before the start of the NFL season. But it is definitely the weekend, next weekend to go out there. As you mentioned, they've got open bar events. They've got some other events. There's a bunch of Radio Row and media personalities are going to be out there from some national outlets as well. And then all the people that won the contest before. This year, I want to get one of those guys on the show because we go out there and they give out like a blue jacket to the winner of these.
I know.
And we've seen them at the party. There'll be like 50 of these, you know, like 20, honestly, but guys walking around. And I want, because we're going to do a Circa Millions, like Dusty's going to enter with us. You and I are going to be part of an entry with Speck, I believe. We're going to do Circa Millions. And I want to bring him on the show. I want some advice. I want some tips. Like we all bet, but I want advice from someone that's won, in this case, $6 million before.
That's how does it work? Do they get? Does anybody who's a part of a group
like it's a million a for entry, first? I guess six million total prizes.
So $1 million and the five of us win it. Do we all get a jacket?
No,
or just one jacket? We got to share it.
Don't worry about the jacket. Be happy that you get to split $1 million.
No, I'm worried about the jacket.
I don't know. No, I believe how it works is you get one, and then you could agree to buy an additional couple jackets. You would have to spend your own money to do that.
I mean, if you just won $1 million, it'd probably be a little easy to spend the cash.
I just can't wait till mid season. There's going to be a week where Dusty's convinced to take some team against the spread, and we're all going to get in a big argument, and it's
going to be a 4-1 week, and it could have been 5-0.
And then the next week, we're going to get back in studio, and we are going to be all upset with somebody. Like, I told you not to take them -5.5. It's going to be great. So we're excited.
Like, you didn't get, there's no hook.
Yeah. We're going to be excited to enter the contest this year. And I know we have a couple listeners that were out there with us last time too. So if you're going to be there, let us know, hit us up on Twitter at Alex Gold, at Cody B Tap, at Drew B Nix, right? On social. Also
not on Instagram, but he is that on Twitter.
Okay. That's right. We did learn that. Also something we're going to all find out together. I want to tease it now because I truly, and Cody true. We told Drew
not for Radio Fodder. We do not know.
Don't tell us, because he put something in the rundown this morning or late last night. And it just simply says, Drew, : I'm starting something new.
Yeah, Tate.
Okay.
Fire your guesses.
I'm starting something new. You guys can guess. We have no clue. I have a lot of thoughts. 913-586-7965. What is Drew starting new?
I asked OnlyFans.
He said it's not work-related.
Is it an OnlyFans?
It's a personal thing. Based on your photos, maybe you finally listened to our advice. We said, look, if you're going to be sending out shirtless photos, you might as well start making money off of it.
You guys can guess OnlyFans.
Are you finally realizing that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to disappoint you the rest of your life?
I'm flipping teams?
Yeah, you're becoming a Chiefs fan. Is that what I'm hearing? We're going to learn together.
I can vehemently say that it is not becoming a Chiefs fan. You don't need to guess that one. It's not happening.
OnlyFans.
That was my first guess.
I don't know. He's going to get on that valid guess right now.
I have a couple thoughts. One is starting something. He's going to become like a vegetarian or something And all of a sudden he's going to be a food freak, a diet freak. He's going to come in with a gallon of water every day. And he's going to tell us how many.
Oh, dude, if you turn into a bone broth blender bottle, dude, I'm out.
I'm not going to walk in with a gallon jug of water. I did recently order a water bottle though. A new water bottle for myself. So,
okay.
I never order new water bottles. I just get them for free. That was the most boring sentence ever said on this show.
That has nothing to do with what I'm starting. Okay. That has nothing to do with it.
Is that a nice
starting,
one?
He said he's starting something new. He's going to start weekly massages.
He says they're going to start his own cupping business. We are about starting businesses on the show. I'm
motivational workout profile. Someone says. Drew's going to beef up and take roids.
Hey, someone from the 913, he's going to become a good producer.
Ouch.
Let me take the sword out of my stomach right now.
In that case, do you steal Mac's job? But we've fired... Like, how does that work? If you took the morning show producing job, then either Mac was fired or we fired you and you stole Mac's job.
You guys remember the show Wife Swap? We should do a producer swap just for like a week. during next offseason, like not during football, but like next summer, producer swap.
So Drew's got to wake up at
producer swap.
Cody, that actually was the wager of the pickleball thing, is Mac loses his job and I take his job. That was what it was.
I do think we should do a producer swap next summer at some point. It'd be like wife swap. We get video doc, like basically like Drew, like waking up half asleep
behind the scenes.
Yeah. Half asleep and like miserable for a week and realize, and him and Dusty are fighting in the mornings. Mac comes here and Mac's used to doing something like, no, we don't do that. I guess it could provide some content next summer.
For sure. I will say earlier today, Andy Reid did speak to the media on the last day of training camp. It's the last day of training camp. He did, I think, as you pointed out before the show, he did us all a huge favor Friday night.
Oh, big time.
Chiefs game starts at 9 p.m. local time because the game's in Seattle Friday night. And you're like, ooh, 9 p.m. for a preseason game on a Friday night. That sounds rough. Good news. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, at least, at bare minimum, are not playing in this game on Friday. So your interest level of this game and my interest level of this game and every fan's interest level of this game just plummeted.
This is one of those where you do not have to feel like you got to be locked in at 9 o'clock on Friday night. Now, there's other storylines that'll come out of it. Well, you go back and if you keep an eye on a certain player, you can go back and obviously watch a certain series if something significant happened for a certain player or something like that. But I'll be honest, he did everybody a gigantic favor. It's a Friday night. The Royals are at home as well. And the game starts at 9 o'clock and no Mahomes anyway. Yeah. With all due respect, I don't need Bailey Zappi for two quarters. I'm good. Thank you very much. Like,
that's going to be the most background of background TV. You don't even have a Caitlin Clark card to watch this time.
No.
What are you going to do?
No.
What are you going to do with your night? So let's not talk about that right now. We can talk more about who we might actually watch when we come in here on Friday because we know the starters won't be in the mix. But the Royals have a chance for a very big sweep today because the same reason we mentioned. We said they had to win at least 6-7 games in this 9-game trip up against bad teams. No more messing around. You got to get several games above 500 before the tough teams come to town. And you got to take on teams like the Texans. I'm in football mode now.
Yeah.
The Rangers or the Tigers, who they've got twice this month, right? So before that starts, time to get some wins. It is a big opportunity for the Royals to get wins because they've won 3 of their last 4 and made up no ground in the wild card spot, which means no foot off the gas now. Go get the sweep today. You beat them, and I think like you beat up on their bullpen. You look like the better team, and I like when you look like the better team against a bad team versus like the Twins, and you just take it to them a little bit. Finish it off. Seth Lugo, who is currently your best starting pitcher available to you, is on the mound today. You're up against not a very good one for them. Their bullpen still stinks. It's been taxed. Go get the sweep. Just get the sweep. And tomorrow we can come in here feeling good. And it'd be the first time it feels like they'd been above 500 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no question there. Look, the stretch that we've all been talking about, we keep repeating ourselves, I think, on this the stretch, but it's significant. And it is the stretch of the season now where at some point you got to get hot. And they're in the middle of that 9-game stretch. And they're in a position after what happened to Minnesota where they needed to go. What was it? 5-1 or 5-0 the rest of the way during the stretch. Well, you got to start somewhere. And today a sweep would get you that 3-0 mark at least and put it in play for you to have the 9-game stretch that we talked about them needing to have, which is a sign that they are capable of getting hot, not just winning 2, losing 2, winning 1, losing 1, winning 3, losing 3. Like they can't
being
do that anymore.
Not with, like 40, for
not with 42 games now to go. So, and let's just be real. This Nationals team sucks. They stink.
Bad.
Their bullpen is the worst team in baseball. If you can get up on them at all early, it is game over. James Wood is a very nice player. He's going to be a stud in this league for a long time. But they have the worst bullpen in baseball. Their starting pitching sucks. They traded away some pieces. This is a team you should sweep at this point of the season. This is different than even Minnesota, where Minnesota at least had a bunch of young guys that got called up or trying to prove themselves. All right, and a Minnesota team and a manager that is still their manager, not an interim manager. Remember, the Nationals fired their GM and manager in the middle of the season, a week before the draft. This is a team you go out there this afternoon and get the sweep. I'm going out there actually after the show. We're off a little early today for those that don't know it. It's day baseball, so we hand things off to Vern at noon for his On Deck show, and then I'm heading out to the game to watch with some people, and I'm hoping to see a victory this afternoon. It needs to happen to keep everything in play.
Look, they're above 500 since the All-Star break. They went in the All-Star break 3 games below 500. They are now dead even at 60-60. So since the All-Star break, the 3 games above 500, but they needed to be 6 games above 500. And it goes back to the quote that J.J. Piccolo gave us yesterday, which is like, yeah, especially in the last couple of weeks is where it especially feels of note, where we've let some games slip away, where you should only be, honest to God, if you don't like make those like mistakes you just can't make, you should be two games, right? Two games out of a wild card spot. Game and a half out of a wild card spot.
That's the reality of where they're at. Now, I will say, like someone says, hey, are we going to ever talk about how the Tigers' lead is down to 5.5? Not until the Royals are above 500 and the Royals are within 5.5. The Royals are still 8.5 back. I hear you. The Tigers are definitely slowing down. Their pace is way down. They're now only 17 games above 500. They were way out in front of everybody. Toronto now is the best team in the American League. That's not Detroit anymore.
And still 8.5 for the Royals.
But that's the thing. If the Royals were where Cleveland is at, which is 62-56, and 5.5 back, we'd be saying, okay, all of a sudden. Yeah, they're still 8.5 games back. So let's worry about the wild card. You're correct that the Tigers are free falling a little bit here. But freaking Cleveland, despite trading off a couple pieces or losing a couple bullpen guys due to the sports betting scandal,
have won 8 of the last 10.
Yeah, they're hot. This is what we mean, though. The Royals have to have an 8-10 game stretch because you still have a Cleveland team in front of you that is as hot as anybody in baseball suddenly. And so you haven't gained ground on them. You're still behind them. It's not so much being third in the division. It's that in the wild card race, you are four back. The Rangers are 3.5 back, and Cleveland's one back from the Yankees for the final wild card spot. The good news is, there's four. You know, you're talking about three teams technically in front of you at this point in time. I mean, Boston, I guess, has not solidified their spot either. But let's just worry about the Royals getting hot before we start really standing chasing again.
Did you see who was hot yesterday?
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
Feels appropriate because he's in AAA, obviously starting his rehab assignment.
Mm-hmm. Four hits, is that right?
Four hits for Jack Caglione yesterday. Four hits.
One to tie it, two to win it. 1-0.
Here, every person that stands
there. Caglione sends a sharp ground ball through the right side. Base hit in the right field.
That was one of the four hits. Good sign. Rehab assignment day one. I think he's off today.
Okay, he's confident enough in AAA. For anybody who's like, I want him to get his confidence back, I bet he feels pretty good about himself after a four-hit day.
Yeah, we all know that he's got to succeed at the big league level and do things. But to your point there, and it's something you and I have said throughout the last week, this notion that he needs to stay in AAA the rest of the year is to me crazy. We know he can hit AAA pitching. That is not the problem. The problem is when he got to the big leagues and he was exposed at times and struggled. That, to me, goes back to the overall hitting development at the big league level. And
you want to get back into
Alex Zumwalt stuff. We don't have to have that conversation again, but that's more my concern. I don't need to see Jack Caglione hit 400 and hit 7 home runs over the next 3 weeks in AAA. I don't need to see that. That doesn't do anybody any good.
No, he's got to figure out it at the big league level for this year and for next year. Their best chance to make the playoffs, Jack Caglione comes up and he just does what he did in AAA all year and AA all year. And he started his big league career slow for a variety of reasons. One could just be because people start slow. I don't want to continue to point out the stats that like other guys who are very good in baseball right now, like Nick Kurtz, didn't have a good 30 games to start their major league career versus the 40 games that Cag struggled. It doesn't matter. You and I both know 40 games is an impossibly small sample size for a baseball player. Hell, do we need to go what Vinny did to start the season this year for his first 40 games? They weren't very good either. You know that he's on pace to be a 100 RBI guy again this year? After the five ribbies
I know. Comping Vinny's slow start with Cag's slow start, I don't know if that comp makes...
I'm just pointing out that people can have a bad 40 games.
Yeah, 100% with you. Look, AAA just isn't going to do him any good. He's on a rehab assignment. He needs to find out if the hamstring is healthy. He's going to reportedly be off today, and then they'll give him a back-to-back later on. Hopefully he makes it through the next five or six games healthy, and then we can talk about him getting called back up. But staying in AAA makes no sense beyond a rehab assignment. Not to mention, I'd have to go and look. Most likely, you're not really facing great AAA pitching on August 13th. If there were some, those guys have been called up by now. If they were, if there was a successful first 4 months or 3 months of AAA baseball for some younger prospects, most of the time, I don't know if they were.
I would say it's probably not. It's either the guy who's pitched really well in AA, or it's the Dallas Keuchel kind of situation, like for the Royals or that. So
anyway,
I'm not here to tell you that. And I did not look. I'm not here to tell you that whoever he got those four hits off of yesterday, the mini pitchers I assume he got the four hits off of yesterday, are a who's who of future major leaguers. But again, that's the point you and I are making, is that what challenge or thing is he learning in AAA? If he is healthy in a week, call him up. I also point out that every lineup includes John Rave and Nick Lofton. And if you're telling me that there aren't at-bats for Jack Caglione versus them, I would just adamantly disagree. That would not be the stance that I would take. Now you've got me looking up the AMU text line. Now you got me looking up who he was hitting up against for the St. Paul Saints yesterday. And then, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who this Bradley dude is, or Worf, or Klein. Those are the guys he got the three hits off of. Bradley kid's got Taj Bradley.
You know who Taj Bradley is. That's the pitcher that pitched for the Rays earlier this year that almost had a no-hitter against the Royals for six innings.
So for what it's worth, Taj Bradley, a 24-year-old a in AAA with a 3.5 ERA,
he's a big leaguer.
Is a future big leaguer, and he got three hits off of his ass. So
I assume
got to AAA.
Is it the same player?
Yeah.
He got traded from the Twins from the Rays to the Twins, I guess, at some point this year.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Taj Bradley is who he faced yesterday.
At least it was a big leaguer.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that, honestly. It's a guy who at least, you know, it's probably just some washed up guy. No, that's a guy still trying to make the bigs. Anyway, let's get to Mike Sando, who did a big article over on ESPN, not ESPN. He did it for
Athletic.
The Athletic. I was like, where did he do it for? For The Athletic, talking about the quarterback tiers. We have decided for a portion of this conversation to exclude any conversation. Drew, Gold, no conversation about comparing 1-to-1, Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
We did that yesterday.
Or Josh Allen avoided. Or Lamar.
We're just going to eliminate the top four guys. That's not the way we're talking about quarterback tiers. We are getting rid of it. We are not having that conversation. Let's talk about the other guys in the list. And the reason why I think that this is an interesting article is because he talked to 50 people who are actively in the NFL. Six current NFL head coaches, current NFL GMs. It is people whose opinions I believe you should pay attention to, and for the people who pay attention to it, I think these are people who matter. So for that conversation, that's where I think it's interesting. So we can agree, we're just going to eliminate the four guys from this conversation. Easily the most surprising guy in tier one is Matt Stafford, right? Is he still a tier one quarterback?
When he's healthy, is. Problem is, right now he's not healthy, and he's dealing with these back issues, or neck issue, I'm sorry, as well. And so that's really concerning for a player at his age. I think this is the final year for Matthew Stafford, the league. But when he's healthy, I do think Matthew Stafford can sling it with the best of them in the league. His issue has been staying available, and he's one bad hit away from being out for 6 weeks.
Yeah. At his age, the injury part's got to be a factor for me. It just is, man. I don't want to say that or inside of this, but I think he's a tier two guy. He's the top of he's the king of the tier twos, if you want. And it's like a graduation effect. It's not that he never deserved to be in tier one. It's just that he doesn't deserve to be in it now. You would still put him in as a tier one guy?
I don't have, depending on how many quarterbacks you want to put in tier one. Like, if we're going to say tier one is only four quarterbacks, then no. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, if the argument is like tier one can only have four quarterbacks, well, then we know who that is. We know it's the
that
Mahomes,
to me is
Burrow,
tier
Allen,
it is
Lamar.
Interesting that Matthew Stafford in there. In tier one.
He does. No, he does. That's why Cody's bringing it up. Like, I think if you're saying that should Stafford be in the same grouping of Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud. The issue I have is tier two, Sando has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 quarterbacks.
I don't think that's the state of the league.
Is tier two 9? Do you put Jaden Daniels and Baker Mayfield in the same category? Because I don't. Baker was awesome last year, but do I put them in the same category of quarterback right now? Do I put Brock Purdy in the same category as Jaden Daniels? I don't. That's my problem, is like, I don't think Jaden Daniels and Brock Purdy are in the same tier.
Oh, man. So here's the problem. I don't think any quarterback after a single good rookie year deserves to be in another tier. I would make an argument maybe for Purdy in tier two, but I genuinely think that that's what the league is right now. I think that there's a shocking number of quarterbacks who exist in the middle right now. Darnold, Baker, Goff, Hurts, Kyler, that if you don't want to, I think that they do belong in the same tier. Now, we could rank them out.
Yeah, but the guys, you just mentioned Kyler. He's in, that's fine. He's
him
in,
and Darnold
he's,
are in the...
They're in tier three.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. What's funny is they have five tiers, and we joke that Kenny Pickett's the only guy in tier five.
I still think that that's just kind of mean.
So what I'm saying is five tiers is what we should do, but can we split up? Can we have Daniels, Stroud, Hurts, Goff, basically in like tier two,
and then get rid of Brock Purdy.
Then it's tier three, and it's Purdy, Dak, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe you think Jalen Hurts obviously should be in tier two, and then we just have tier five can be Kenny Pickett and Spencer Rattler and Richardson and Flacco and Jones instead of having only one. I would expand tier five and I would trim up tier two, if that makes sense.
I'm not against that. Look, because if you said Jordan Love is not a tier two quarterback yet, I wouldn't necessarily make an argument.
He would be in tier three. He'd be there with Dak. He would be there with Brock Purdy. He would be there, in my opinion, with Baker and CJ Stroud. But I think Daniels, Herbert, Goff, or at least Daniels, Goff, and Hurts should be in tier two by themselves.
I got to say, if Matt Stafford's in tier one, then Hurts should be in tier one. Like, he can't keep getting eliminated off this list just because they think the talent around him is too good. This was Mike Sando. Yeah,
Jalen Hurts threw for like 3,200 yards last year. It's just, I know,
but I watched CJ Stroud do it. That's my reservation.
I understand.
You belong in tier two. He can be in tier two. It's fine.
My thing with Hurts, and call me a hater, is just, a guy that is consistently throwing for like 3,300 to 3,500 yards, I'm sorry. Like, that's not as impressive. Yes, the end game is rings and all of that. I understand. That's why there's always more nuance to the convo than just rings. But you're telling me that Jalen Hurts, in terms of just overall quality of quarterback, is just as good as in my opinion, from a skill set, as Jaden Daniels, as a Matthew Stafford, as a Lamar Jackson?
I looked up Lamar Jackson's stats. Up until last year, the most yards he threw for last year outside of that were 3,600 yards in his career. I mean, he threw for 2,200 in 2022. He only played in 12 games, but in 2020, played in 15, threw for 2,700. Like, I think outside of just
Jalen
last
Hurts
year,
threw for 2,900 yards last year,
which is about 500, 600 less probably than Jaden Daniels.
Now, in fairness, the year before was 3,800, but like 2,900 yards.
And I just don't think that's who. It's not that Jalen Hurts can't do that. Can't throw for 3,800 every year. It's just not what they do.
But he has
Saquon, and it's not you. I don't think our expectation should be for him to put up the same numbers as a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes. And if he doesn't do that, then we just eliminate him from the conversation of being an elite quarterback or a really good one.
The thing is, Gold, is like, and this is where like the amount of time we have to watch these guys matters. Because he's had seasons as good as Jaden Daniels last year. He's had 3,700-yard passing seasons, 3,900-yard pass seasons, you know, 4,400 total, including the rushing yardage, right? He's had those seasons where the statistical output is similar to that as Jaden Daniels. But he's never fallen off. He's never just had, like, he hasn't just, like, fallen off at any point, and he's doing it while winning Super Bowls. Which is why, like, I don't want to...
A Super Bowl.
Yeah. Or, sorry, yeah. He's been to two, one A. And so it's like, I think he's clearly a tier two guy. I don't think he belongs in the conversation because I don't think he's as talented as the four guys we're excluding from this conversation. But it's like
I would put him like, this is why I want to make tier two smaller than tier three. I would put Daniels, Hurts, Goff, and maybe you could convince me that you could add in.
You're a Dak guy. Is Dak in that conversation?
But no, that's why. Not after last year, right? Last year, the injury. Now this year, I think he can put himself back into that tier conversation. I'm just saying, tier three should be a combination of guys like Baker, Dak, Love, Purdy. And maybe
the true middle class of football that exists now.
And then tier four tier four should be the biggest tier, in my opinion. That should be Kyler and Rodgers and Tua and Lawrence and Geno and Nix.
Do you guys find it interesting that Aaron Rodgers is ranked ahead of Bo Nix in this tier list?
Yes, I don't get it.
He's getting a little legacy branding on it.
Bo Nix also is behind Geno Smith and Trevor Lawrence in this tier list as well.
I mean, Geno Smith's done it for longer. Trevor Lawrence, I will say, finally the league is figuring out Trevor Lawrence. It took them a little while to include Trevor Lawrence with his proper brethren, a below average NFL quarterback. He is not like Tua and Trevor and Geno, Bo Nix. They're all ranked in four in a row. That is the appropriate ranking for those four quarterbacks. That's where they exist amongst the other quarterbacks in the NFL.
Who do you, let me name off these guys. You named a couple of them. Who do you think has the chance to take the biggest leap that we're sitting here next year and saying there's a case for them to be in tier two or tier three? Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young. Out of those
five.
The
best chance? Or
Caleb or J.J. McCarthy?
Tier four is McCarthy. Yeah. Sure, you want to add in Penix and McCarthy.
Sure.
Out of those seven, I guess it is now. Who do you think has the best chance to suddenly be, we're talking in August of next year? Penix. Oh, wow, they're tier two.
I think it's either J.J. McCarthy because he is in the most
Kevin O'Connell system.
Favorable situation on the planet.
I still think Caleb Williams. I know people like to hate. I know people want to hate on him, and he's got to do more, but it's the same thing you said with McCarthy. The situation he's in with weapons, he's got a great spot to actually go and have just blow up this year in a good way.
I still think it's rude to put Kenny Pickett in a tier by himself. So rude. Go ahead, Drew.
I think Penix is, just because of the weapons that he has, like Darnell Mooney was really good last year. Drake London, of course, is solid. You still have Kyle Pitts. Who knows what happens there? Bijan out of the backfield. It feels like he doesn't have the coach that J.J. McCarthy does, or, of course, the top-tier weapon in J.J., but roster-wise, I mean, he has a talented offense around him. I think Trevor Lawrence, this is his best shot, just given the head coaching change, Brian Thomas Jr. Like this is it. If Trevor Lawrence...
To change the narrative, yeah, this is...
If he doesn't do anything this year and he's fully healthy and everything like that, then it's just never going to happen, and that's just something that I think we kind of have to accept.
913-586-7965. Someone says, you shouldn't only go by yards to evaluate quarterbacks. Nobody was saying we're only going off of yards for Jalen Hurts. It's just part of the conversation. That's part of the factor. Nobody's saying that
he's
solely
really good,
disqualifies
but like you said,
him,
he shouldn't be included in that top four or even five.
It's one factor if you're trying to make a case for or against somebody. All right, we're late for a break. Up next, let's find out how Cody's golf outing went. I got multiple texts yesterday. Can't wait to talk about that. Also, a bizarre story involving Venmo, and I don't get why people use Venmo this way. I'll explain next.
Guys, I'm at a crossroads with golf. You said we're going to find out how golf goes. Let me get away the spoilers here. Terribly.
You joined. You filled in a golf league yesterday, and you don't really golf all that often. What were you thinking?
Okay, so I've golfed a few more times this year than I did last year, but I've got the yips, Drew. I am at a crossroads.
It's a tough place to be.
I am at a crossroads with my golf game. Here's the simple reality of it. I think I have to decide in the next 2 weeks which direction this is going. I think I am down to two available options. I should either take this seriously, get to the range more often, play a lot more golf, try to become an average, show up a couple times a month golfer in which you're not a total embarrassment. Fine, you skull one every once in a while.
I think that's all a lot of people want.
The last couple times I've golfed, I'm not even that. Or I should just quit, sell my golf clubs, and never play again.
Wait,
I think part of yesterday had me there. I should either just quit golf forever, never play the sport ever again.
What did you shoot?
Or I don't like. Oh, on the it was like 70 or something.
I said 68, and you called me crazy.
I stopped even trying to like. I was just trying to fix my swing after like four holes. There was no point.
Been there, done that.
And I shot like I shot 108 on Saturday, so I was quite a bit better on Saturday.
So you were just 37 shots off. In nine holes, which you shot for 18 during the weekend?
Yes! I lost it!
I had more faith in you, man.
I think I know what happened. Do you notice, whenever Cody goes in golf, especially with our friend Joe, all of a sudden, and Cody, we have a group chat, and like we'll text, but the amount of texts that flooded through yesterday.
Joe was sending a lot of texts. Joe is also embarrassing, by the way. He plays way more golf than me.
The amount of texts we get, and then we start getting selfies from Cody mid-golf and faces.
Drank too much?
A lot of faces that I won't tweet out and stuff that are very interesting.
A sad face.
And I think what happens is you get blitzed and your golf game tanks.
That occasionally happens. That was not yesterday's problem.
How much did you drink yesterday?
Not none. I had a drink, two drinks. I don't know.
Okay.
I will say there is certainly
the driver was the only club that works.
Maybe you need to get some new clubs how you won the new
driver. Oh, we're blaming it on the clubs.
I'm just telling you right now. But that's the goal. Here's the thing.
It can't hurt.
It's probably not. It's definitively not the club's fault.
What, do you work at the PGA Superstore over there? He needs new clubs.
My irons are probably 10 or 12 years old. They're from a golf brand that doesn't even make irons anymore.
That doesn't help.
And the truth is that this is the point. I either throw them into the Grand Canyon when we're in Vegas. I ship them out there and I make a ceremonial toss.
That'd be a heck of a social media video.
Into the Grand Canyon and I quit this game forever. Or it's today I start taking it serious to actually get decent. Not great.
Well,
not
how much money do you want to spend and how much time do you want to commit?
When I was in my early 20s and I just used to shoot.
Question.
When I was in my early 20s and I used to shoot like 92, we go out on the weekends and it's still fun for everybody and not an
impair. Gold is absolutely right,
honestly,
Cody.
How much time do you want to spend and how much money?
That is absolutely
that's your answer.
Question?
Yes. Gold is 100%
on it. The answer to that is really what will dictate what
because
you want to do.
Because, Cody, if you do, for whatever reason, I don't know if you've looked at new clubs. Obviously, you're going to have to spend a pretty penny. You don't need if you're spending more than $1,000 on clubs, you're doing it wrong. If you're going to get new clubs, do not spend over $1,000. Get clubs that are a couple years old, more forgiving.
And a scratch golfer, give me some suggestions of possible clubs because I was trying to decide between quitting or getting better.
Do not be the person who is shooting in the hundreds and spends $1,800 on a set of irons that they should not be using in the first place.
Drew,
don't be
never
that person.
Happen.
Good.
That's obviously
don't be
not.
That individual.
That's obviously not.
I just Drew, would you say like, is there a certain type of club?
I use a regular shaft.
Okay. That's good to know.
You need to go and get a club fitting. I don't think I'll ever use a stiff shaft.
Okay. So don't. So Cody, did you hear that?
I mean, club fitting.
Drew, from your experience though,
I've played with stiff shafts. It's not that great.
Okay.
Cody, you need to go and get a club fitting so you know what shaft you should use.
Here's a set of irons.
You would need a custom shaft.
That the guy suggested I can get a set of irons used for $500. So I could win in Vegas, win $500. Maybe I just let the gambling gods decide, Gold. I get to Circa and let the gambling gods decide if I've got the $500 to buy these new irons, you know?
On this show, you would be the shaft expert.
I think, Cody, you should go. And look,
I might just quit, man. I don't know.
I know. I think
I'm so frustrated. Can we go to the range? Can that help me decide? I'm going to decide in the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to swing some clubs sometime in the next couple of weeks to help me decide.
It's better to get, so you don't have to commit to anything. It's better to get a fitting because at the range, you have to get the clubs and then try the clubs out afterwards. At a fitting, you can go and you pay like $50 or whatever it is, and you get to try 3, 4, or 5 iron sets. You don't have to buy anything then and there. Of course, they'll pressure you to do that probably, but you try things out, figure out what iron works for you, what type of shaft works for you, and then you'll be good to go and you know what to do. You'll have better direction.
I need one of these like
men's senior shaft.
I need one of these like these good golf club places to like sponsor me. Make me get better. Like the Styx golf clubs or something. Get me a fitting. Come on, let's work together. Let's get me better at this.
This is turning to Cody begging for free golf clubs now. That's what it is.
No, I looked at prices. I definitely have looked at some used sets.
I just think you should never have volunteered to fill in a golf league when you're not that good at golf.
It was last
man.
Minute. They needed somebody last minute. And of course, the two people we were with are a 2 and a 3 handicap. So this guy hit his drive into the, so I hit my drive in the fairway. He hit his drive, I don't know, a billion yards further than me into the sand trap. But it's a par 5. So he's still like, I don't know, 220 yards out of the sand trap and stripes one 10 feet from the pin. And I'm like, okay, well, this guy must hate playing golf with me.
Mm-hmm.
This guy must just think this person's the worst human being on the planet.
So you're done with golf league. That sounds like a path you should not do.
I might just quit golf.
Never again.
I might just quit golf. I might just have to quit. But in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to take it serious for the next couple weeks. I'm going to get out of the course. I'm going to go to the range. I'll do what Drew says. I'll go get a fitting.
Do you want to go golfing in 110 degree weather in Vegas next week?
Hell no.
No? Okay.
I'm not shipping my clubs out there. So
110 degrees on Thursday.
There you go, guys. There you go.
So I'll be inside. If not, I'll be out at Stadium Swim in the water. Otherwise, there's no reason to go outside in Vegas next week.
Go ahead and schedule the tee time for like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Will you come to the range
in the morning?
No, not in the morning.
If 5 a.m. it might be cool. It might only be 90 degrees.
Is your brother coming in town anytime soon?
No.
Damn it.
What, you want free lessons from his brother?
I thought maybe we could spend an hour at the range.
My brother would, if we went to the range and you were there, if my brother was here, he would give you
anybody a golf? The guy I was playing with last night?
He would give you some game for free.
I should
not charge you.
One of the guy last night, the same guy who hit that bunker shot, I am to understand he is a high school golf coach. So I probably should have just gotten a lesson from that guy.
I use a regular shaft.
Thank you, Drew. We'll get to what Drew said he is trying differently or something new.
I'm going
to
give you guys five guesses.
He said he's starting something new. Okay. We'll get to that
in
about
that in
6 or 7 minutes or so. I'm not sure. Because, again, Drew was supposed to play in that golf league yesterday. He said he had other obligations. Then today he's out here saying he's starting something new. I have a lot of things.
It has nothing to do with yesterday.
A lot of things
either.
Are flowing through my mind. Some I can't say on the air, I don't think, of what you actually are doing, but we're going to learn together.
Dang, all right.
Yeah, we're going to learn together in just a little bit. Meanwhile, have you guys seen the story about the Oklahoma quarterback? There, Drew, you fall
John Mateer.
You fall college football. So you tell me, how good is he supposed to be, number one?
There is a lot of hype surrounding him this season. Right. He's considered one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
Okay, so one of the better quarterbacks in the country. He's in a bit of hot water. It started on social media, and since then the university has released a statement, but it's because there was some screenshots from the transfer quarterback's Venmo account where it shows transactions that maybe signaled he was betting on college games. Again, nobody knows. We don't know what the heck is actually going to happen or what happened in this circumstance. But basically, Sooner Scoop, which is a website, reported that the school is aware of the alleged incident and was looking into it. The quarterback made it clear to Oklahoma that he says he has never gambled. But these screenshots were of his Venmo to a buddy, and it literally said, sports betting, parentheses, you know, Oklahoma USC versus UCLA or USC against UCLA or whatever it may be. And again, I have no idea if he actually did. First of all, why does anybody ever make their Venmo transactions public? I have never understood that. I think I've said it on the air before. Whether it's me sending $20 to Cody for lunch or him sending me $5 for whatever, and you put the emoji as a beer stein or a mug or whatever, why? That doesn't need to be public.
I didn't know that you could make them private.
Drew's is definitely public.
I'm gonna go to yours right now. Like, why have you not made it private? It doesn't ever show the dollar amount, but why does everybody need to know who you're sending money to on Venmo? Probably it seems like a terrible idea.
Probably because people don't know that they can.
Drew, let me find your Venmo. I don't know if I've ever sent anything to you on Venmo. You and I are not friends on Venmo. I don't think we ever sent money to each other. Let me go to Cody's.
How do you make
second.
It private?
There's a setting you could just change.
I've made mine private, but I sent Venmo so little.
Cody, Cody's was public was 2021.
Yeah, I probably switched it.
You paid someone named Julie for things, and then you paid your brother Jairus for yard work. I don't need it, but why? I don't need to know this.
That was 2021, years ago, I made that private.
There's also one again. So I don't know why anybody needs to leave a private public.
Has yours been private from the beginning?
I don't know if it was from the very beginning. So one, it doesn't need to be public, but also a lot of people do put funny stuff in the comments, right?
Nonstop.
As a quarterback in college football, you cannot, even if you were joking, which let's just play along here for a little bit, why would you put sports betting as the joke when you're a quarterback at a Division I university? Like, you even have one that's funny.
My brothers and I used to send all kinds of stuff.
It says, F your 45 cents.
Look, here's the truth. Like, the weird part about this is I'm kind of inclined to believe the kid. Because
he's just messing around.
I think should be.
My brother worked at a bank for a really long time, still does work at a bank. And when he was doing like teller stuff, he would like, if he had to write me a check, he put the most insane stuff for me to have to deposit in the memo line. I mean, it would say offensive things in the memo line of the check. So like, Venmo's essentially just the public version of that. I don't think it's crazy that two kids who are their teenagers would go jokey. I don't think he's so stupid. He would put in his Venmo,
I don't know,
I'm wagering on sports.
Arch Manning's went public recently and he had a lot of dumb comments that a 19-year-old kid would put. Whatever, you're right. Like, we've all put dumb things. But this wasn't even like the sports betting thing. When you're a Division I quarterback, you just have to be smarter. Like, you can't make that joke given the scandals that exist in sports and alleged scandals and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Someone says the reason why it's public is so people don't launder billions of dollars. No, you don't have to make it public. Like,
you actually can make them private.
Venmo doesn't mean that Venmo still can't, if there was an investigation, that Venmo still can't reveal to the FBI or something. I'm saying, literally, like, I should not be able to go to Cody's Venmo and see every transaction. Make it private.
Yeah, I think...
By the way. It's not something...
I mean, you got to think smart about this. I mean, a friend of mine just texted and said that they had to Venmo a stripper for cash for a bachelor party. They Venmo and then they give you the ones. Do you want that in your public Venmo request?
Drew's got a bunch in there now. I'm seeing a bunch of them say cupping and massages. There's like 15 transactions in the last 2 weeks. It's a lot of massages, Drew.
It's interesting, though, because I think you're right, Cody, in the fact that like we should believe him. I think we were inclined to
I'm
do so.
I'm kind of inclined to believe him that kids put stupid things in Venmo transaction histories.
At the same time, like, I don't... You're inclined to believe them, but at the same time, we've seen how often this stuff has occurred, really in sports in general in the last year or two, that you have to investigate it, and it creates a distraction for that program. It makes him look bad in a situation. I mean, if you're Brent Venables, you're like freaking out for a little bit just because you're like, Did you actually do this? Like, you're supposed to be the starting quarterback and all these other things come along with it.
I don't think you can play a football game until it's properly investigated.
That's where I was going to ask you guys.
I am inclined to believe him. He should not be allowed to play a football game until they track his bank accounts, track the bank accounts of the other people he sent these Venmo requests to, and make sure that they didn't bet on a USC football game for the amount of money that he sent him. If they can clear him, he can play. But he shouldn't be allowed to play until they actually clear that he was.
Yeah, a couple of college football insiders, though, have been reporting on this. They say that the Venmo transaction screenshots do not provide solid evidence to hold him accountable. So
I don't think you can put sports. That's crazy. That's not enough to hold him accountable. It's a sports wagering.
The insider for CBS said, ultimately, there isn't actually a smoking gun. There isn't actually hard evidence that he's done anything wrong. As people may know, Venmo accounts are notoriously unhelpful for revealing what's actually going on in them. Like, look, plenty of people have been there you know, you can put a slice of pizza. It doesn't mean you paid your buddy $150 for pizza. Yeah. It might have been for a baseball card. Like, whatever it may be, right? Like, it doesn't mean anything.
I think it's not very rarely.
What you put in the description for Venmo does not prove anything.
I know, but you just can't type it.
I'm with you.
It doesn't prove anything. Doesn't mean that you are punished as in, like, we're saying you can never play college football again and no NFL team's going to draft you because... No. But do we get to
properly investigate it? And until
do we get
then,
to investigate before? Hell yeah, we get to investigate before. Emmanuel Clase, they haven't technically proven yet that he is guilty of sports wagering. He probably is. The evidence is pretty bad for him. But I will tell you that they get to suspend
him while they
do it.
Yeah, but that's because they literally have a discretion. Like, they have the pitcher that was throwing, and all of a sudden a weird spike in pitch will be a ball or strike. Yeah. That's way more of a, oh, we might have a smoking gun then. We saw a screenshot of a kid that may be joking, but we don't know if he was joking. We have no clue where the bet was placed. Was it ever placed? He sent money to his buddy. How much money did he send to his buddy? Like, yeah, I'm just saying, it's not. There's a lot more to figure out than we're making it seem
this
like.
This is another reason why
seems like there's way more evidence on something like that.
This is another reason why they need collective bargaining. Sure. They need clear language for when and how we can suspend you for reasons like this. Because right now, it is just vibes. Like, enough evidence against what? NCAA rules are notoriously vague. Like, so, I mean, there's a lot of ways they can still ding you.
A lot of the major suspensions come from the schools themselves, too. Correct. Of course, Oklahoma's not going to suspend their guy that they just got in the portal. There's no way.
We'll see. There's got to be some more evidence that comes out if, in fact, it's going to result in him missing games, I think. That's all. And maybe there will be. Maybe we'll find out in a week, and all of a sudden there's real proof. But right now, it seems like a kid was being a complete moron, honestly, is what it sure seems like. All right, Drew, you put something in the rundown. We told you do not tell us what it is until on air, so we get a natural reaction. You just put, Drew, I'm starting something new. You're starting something new. People have been guessing. What do you mean? You're starting something new. And you got a big smile. You got a big smile on your face. Like, are you about to go run in the Boston Marathon next year?
He's going to try to become a professional pickleball player after King Max.
Are you going to Augusta to break 100? What are we doing?
Are you getting cooking lessons?
No, I'm not. Do you guys want to have three guesses? I'll give you each three guesses, or do you want two guesses just for the sake of time?
Two guesses for the sake of time.
And for the text line, too. 913-586-7965.
OnlyFans and training for a marathon. Those are my two guesses.
Okay. I'm going to guess that you're getting like personal training now or something. And then the other thing would be you're some sort of diet. I don't know whether it's becoming vegetarian or some sort of diet you're trying. That's okay. Those are my guesses.
Okay, so those are all very good guesses, but but none of them are it. Somebody says I joined CDOT's quilting class.
I did not.
Is CDOT even still in that class, by the way? I don't know. OnlyFans is a no.
Someone says maybe Drew signed up for Hinge Premium. Cody suggested it for Gold, but maybe Drew did.
No, I absolutely did.
That would not work.
Absolutely
did not. That
would
be a bad decision on your part.
I am learning a new language.
And how far into the process
sorry,
are you?
Sorry,
that wasn't good. I mean, I could have guessed that.
Okay, all right.
What language?
All right, what language, yeah.
Now, if it's Russian, I'm going to be really surprised.
No.
It's going to be some most random, like, it's going to be like some native language from some other, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's French.
Why French?
Yeah, why French? Why not Spanish or something?
Our producer was just living in France, and now he's learning French.
I took Spanish in high school and took it in college, and I'm tired of learning Spanish, so I figured I would learn something new.
So is this like a Duolingo situation,
yes,
or are you going to like
yes,
work?
Yes, this is Duolingo.
Okay.
And then eventually is your goal to then like go overseas and like go practice to, it? Go to Paris?
No,
or
this
something?
Is like a. It's more like a random thing.
Just something just that'd be cool yourself. To pick. Just
what do you know
cool
so far? Can you count to five?
Haven't done numbers yet, but I. But,
what you haven't done numbers? That's
no,
the first one.
No,
I feel
no,
like.
A lot of it is like it's kind of random words, but I'm just getting into greetings. So
bonjour. Is that that's where we're at?
Only if it's good afternoon and good morning. Good evening is bonsoir.
Okay.
Oh, see, he's learning something already.
I can also say like je suis Drew is I am Drew.
I'll be honest. I'm
so
not trying
you
to be a
introduce
jerk.
Yourself as
I'm not trying to be
good for you, man.
Alex.
I'm good for you. I would also love to learn another language, and I briefly considered doing the same. I think it's very good. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but what a letdown. What a letdown. I was expecting something way more intriguing for the show's sake in
yeah,
future.
I was
expecting something that could impact the show moving forward. And
when's
it's just
French
like,
Open?
Oh, I'm learning a new language.
When's the French Open?
Well, the French Open golf, the French Open tennis updates.
So, yeah, so
when's the French Open tennis?
Next year during June. In June.
Oui, oui.
Oh, you got a whole year, dude. That's
so
perfect.
I have 10 months to.
Okay.
To
10
learn
months.
French.
Can you make a, can you like when they used to make us do in my foreign language classes, I can't speak to yours. You'd have to choose like a French name for French class. Like, can you be like Jean-Luc? Can we give you like a French name anytime you're learning French?
I'm just so disappointed.
I'll be Inspector Jacques Clouseau is who I'll be. Steve Martin.
Someone says, are you going to open a crepe shop or baguettes? I'll start selling baguettes.
A croissant.
I mean,
shop.
It's good. Look, I would love to know another language. I would choose Spanish just because I think it'd be more useful. But like, props to you for trying. It's very difficult to pick up a new language. Good for you. I did see T-Mobile on their T-Mobile Tuesday. They have 3 months of Duolingo for free.
A main reason is
you can learn French too.
French at
the
same time.
Actually, I want you guys to figure out who's better at French in 3 months.
I would pick Spanish if I was going to learn another language.
Well, did you pay for the Duolingo?
No, I'm just doing the free one.
You sound about as committed as I am to golf.
How do you say the Bengals aren't making the playoffs in French?
I don't know how to
Please
do
learn
that.
Please learn that. Up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold and some questions already about the wide receiver group, plus an enormous gift was given today. 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget our training camp coverage on 96.5 The Fan brought to you by Geico. Switch and save. Get more. With Geico, we will get to the trash of the day in about 18 minutes or so. A reminder, we're also off early today. Royals trying to get a sweep of the Nationals. It's a day game out at the K, so we will hand things off to Vern at noon today for his on-deck show. I do want to pass along a little bit of NFL news, just an update from a few teams' camps. Unfortunately, we don't know the severity, but unfortunately, quarterback injury in Cleveland. Adam Schefter just putting out that Shedeur Sanders was unable to finish the final portion of practice today.
With an oblique injury.
Yes, with an oblique injury. We don't know the severity. Obviously not good news, but something to keep an eye on after having a nice preseason debut last Friday night.
That James Cook got paid. Those are the big NFL storylines today. He got his, 4 years, yeah. $48 million, $30 million guaranteed. It's still funny how small a running back contract looks
compared,
like.
Compared, yeah. Now, it means, with Sanders at least, going back to his injury real quick, it means he's not going to play Saturday most likely. And so it's another preseason game, though, that he won't have an opportunity to play in. So I don't know what that means for the likelihood of him making the roster versus practice squad. Or is he an IR guy now or Pupless guy? Yeah. I mean, we'll see. But that's an injury. And then, yes, James Cook did get paid today.
You do realize what's going on with Drew, right? Drew is staring down the barrel of turning 30. And it is clearly affecting him. Like that, I'm just like...
Selfies.
It's pretty clear. He's trying to get in the best shape of his life. He's trying to learn a new language. I think it's pretty clear.
I'm trying to get back in shape to where I was. That's what it is.
It's pretty clear that Drew is staring down the barrel of turning 30, and I think it matters.
You think he's freaking out?
I think he's freaking out.
But
I think Drew's freaking out about turning 30.
This is the thing. I haven't thought, like, all of what
you haven't thought about all the things you're doing. I'm telling you, it's because you're turning 30.
All of
a lot of things that have happened in the last month and a half, man.
All of what I'm doing, there's nothing in mind of me turning 30. Like 30, like the whole thing of... I'm not instinctively thinking of that. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I guess it all kind of lines up together.
You're learning a new language. You're trying to get in shape. You're
the wife's learning.
You're taking
selfies too, though, so
with
good.
Your shirt off. You're doing things you hadn't done previous months.
I'm more comfortable in my own
just
skin.
Just weeks before you turn 30.
Like, cause part of
it happens, man. It's all right.
Before I posted the photo, though, I was like, should I even post this? And I was like, screw it. I'm going to do it. You know, like, why not?
I'm only in my 20s once. That's what you said before you posted it.
I did not.
Right before that photo got snapped.
It does fit everything.
Text line's asking,
though.
Is he wearing his wedding ring? He's a little young for a midlife crisis. LOL.
Are you looking at sports cars?
I am not looking at a sports car. Believe me, if I was, that'd be great. I would have sent you guys a photo by now of a car that I was looking at if I was doing that.
Go to Shawnee Mission 4. Get yourself a Mustang, man. Convertible. Mustang convertible. Be good to go.
I had that convertible Mustang in the middle of dead of winter.
That's right.
Not the best time for me.
Did you pop on the interstate and just fire that thing up and just take it?
My kids would make me put the top down if we were driving the neighborhoods. Anything above 40 degrees. Demanded it. So we rode with the top down a lot.
For sure.
Someone
says the bad boy Drew era we're entering.
I'm going to start wearing like biker jackets.
Text line says Drew did not answer the question. I don't know. I don't think he's wearing it. I didn't see it. I think he lost it, honestly.
In the last 3 months, he's like changed his hairstyle up.
Yeah.
He's getting in shape. He's learning a new language.
This
he's got
the same
a new
hairstyle
tattoo.
I've always had.
This is
I have
classic.
Not got a new tattoo.
This is classic.
I will say this. We did, while on vacation, talk about new tattoos.
Something going on.
Anyways.
Let's talk about money, though. Cash, as it were, because your university, Alex, just got gifted.
Big money.
A big, gigantic
awesome.
Stack of cash. David Booth, it was announced today. Pete Thamel, I think, broke the news that David Booth is giving a $300 million donation to the University of Kansas, $75 million of which is already dedicated to wrapping up the stadium project, including the
gateway portion of it.
Yeah, I guess not wrapping it up, but completing phase two of it, a massive donation.
We know basically like 75% of the stadium has already been rebuilt. It's brand new. It looks beautiful. I can't wait to get there some point this fall out to the booth. They'll open up against Fresno State actually a week from Saturday. That's crazy, right? A week from Saturday, they open up. But at the same time, there was worry when they launched it that would they have the money to finish the project, and would you be sitting there with stadium 25% not done for years and years and years. This ensures essentially that's likely not going to happen.
$300 million?
$300 million is unbelievable.
I think there's something bigger at play here.
Well, no, it is. If you read the release, so it's not just about helping with phase two. It is about ensuring essentially stability of the athletic department for years to come. We all know with the revenue sharing that's about to happen in collegiate sports and trying to keep up with everybody else in these Power Five conferences and make sure you have top-notch facilities, but also make sure you're competitive. This provides money for things to operate the athletic department down the road. It's an unbelievable gift. It's one of the largest gifts in collegiate athletic history. It's the largest gift in Kansas history. This is somebody that is already...
You just had an influx of cash. Are you going to be making your largest donation in Kansas history?
I will not. I wish I could. David Booth, $300 million for this. He's donated $300 million to like a University of Chicago business school. He's donated obviously money for the rules of basketball, $4 million or whatever it was he bought those years back. He's donated money for the help with a new business school. I mean, unbelievable amounts of money he has donated to the University of Kansas, and this is awesome. And I know, if you're not a KU alum, you may don't care as much, but you were going to bring up the bigger point, which is this is the position they need to be in financially and also with facilities that with realignment in collegiate sports, you need to make sure you have top-notch facilities.
Much like Drew's trying to make himself the best version of himself in his 30s, Kansas is absolutely, I think part of the big impetus behind these are you need to make yourself as attractive as a football program as you can in case the Big 12 goes belly up. And I'll just be honest with you. In the next 20 years, I don't think the Big 12 will exist. 20 years from now, I don't think there will be a Big 12. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So, certainly didn't think the Pac-12 was going to fold up first, and I still think they got the leg up on the ACC, but there was definitely a time when the Pac-12 and the other conferences had a leg up on the Big 12, and they're still standing, and one of those conferences isn't. And so, I don't think 20 years from now the Big 12 is going to exist. And while it still is a smaller football stadium, to have the kind of... We know their basketball facilities are incredible. To have this put in place, I think, is a way of saying, hey... We promise we will take football seriously. If anything goes down and this gets weird and we're starting to do super conferences, or we're thinking it's just the Big Ten and the SEC, or it's just going to be three conferences, not the Power Four anymore, we'd like you to remember that we do have the facilities. Because up until this point, before they started doing these renovations, Kansas's football facilities were one of the worst in all of the Power Five. Like, they were bad. I mean, their football facilities stunk. And so now to have a big, shiny new toy... And especially making sure it gets done because David Booth's got $300 million for you. I know all $300 million is not coming to that. I'm sure it's getting spread out a lot of different ways. But because he's cutting a big fat check, you are in a better position than you've ever been to prove to teams you're taking football serious.
And the stadium alone, though, and if you wanted to keep Lance Leipold, and they've been able to, remember other programs have tried to poach him in the last year or so, this was part of the deal, right? Like you had to get the stadium project done. You had to have top-notch facilities so you can be competitive in recruiting and other things. So it was an awesome gift to see come through today. And I think, yeah, it positions them a lot better moving forward into the future, whether it is for realignment or for other things as well. Someone says, what does this guy do for a living? He can donate $300 million. Very successful investor. I believe he operates a firm that, you know, deals with, you know, billions of dollars or whatever. He's worth $2.8 billion.
Well, you guys are saying
$2.8 billion.
You guys were saying before the show, this isn't the only, you know, he's
made a different $300 million donation to his grad school.
University of Chicago. I think it's now the University of Chicago, like Booth Business School. He's donated, as I said, to help start the KU Business School. I think $2 million. He donated in 2017 for some of the projects of renovations at football stadium as well. I think that helped. I don't know if that helped with the indoor facility or whatever it was, like $50 million. So yeah, I mean, I think all told that we publicly know about, it's between the schools, I think it's over $600 million easily.
And I mean, obviously, you know, you guys have touched on it. It's not just great for the university, but also for, as it pertains to the football program directly, with the upgrading of facilities and the new stadium and the field getting buzz and the new, and the uniforms, like, and Lance Leipold being like, all of it is, kids love the new facilities. They love the new jerseys. They want to be able to go to a place they feel comfortable in.
And they
weren't
keeping up for a while.
Nice. Yeah, and now that KU's doing this, it's only going to enhance the guys that they can get, the guys that they get in the portal, whatever the case is, to try to keep the football program going in the direction that it has been.
Drew, you're probably better to answer this question. When this renovation is done, knowing that they've got some of the best basketball facilities, mostly because they've got a historic stadium, but also we know the dorm and all the other stuff.
They just renovated it too,
yeah,
a little bit.
The rest of their basketball stuff is kind of incredible. Will they have some of the best facilities in all the Big 12? I'm not talking Big 10 SEC right now.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those setups. They're nuts. So
yeah, they're not going to touch
like,
those.
But will they have some of the best in all of the Big 12 now?
Oh, for sure.
When
yeah,
this thing's done in a couple of years?
That was
the biggest stadium.
So.
It's still a small football stadium. Does that matter?
It's only going to be low 40s, like 41, 42,000.
And Bill Snyder's like 50?
Yeah.
And Missouri's
60.
A lot of the
that's
Big 12
stadiums
range from 40 to 65 or something like that.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a smaller stadium. That's, you know, if you're, that's been like the joke on the K-State fan side of it. That's been like their favorite thing to joke about.
Kansas fans say agricultural school and they joke about your Cracker Box Ice Stadium. Is that what it is? Is that the back and forth between the two?
I don't even know if this is the agriculture stuff that people are making. It's more just the constant back and forth of rivalry stuff and one's big brother, one's little brother kind of thing going on. But,
well, unfortunately, little brother's going to beat big brother this year in football. Sorry to K-State fans.
You're saying Kansas is going to beat Kansas State
also, you said that
do
backwards.
Do you know the last time that Kansas
hold
beat
on,
Kansas
say,
State football?
On. Say that again.
Little brother is going to
beat big brother. But he's saying Golden
State. No, but K-State is little brother.
In football,
KU is little brother, if we're being real.
Yeah, I'm talking university-wise.
Oh, well, big brother's going to beat little brother then, if we're talking university-wise in football.
Gotcha.
Then. Sorry about it.
Gotcha.
KU is going to win for the first time since, what, 2008, the Sunflower Showdown? Or whenever?
It's been way too long. Also, I don't know if that's going to happen this year. K-State has
like
the best chance of any of the locals to make it to the college football playoff.
When's the last time they beat them in Manhattan? Hasn't it been like, I'm not kidding, it's like Bush 1 or something was I mean, it's been a long time since they won Manhattan, right? Is it
Drew's
in
wearing
this
a
year?
Drew's wearing a KU shirt today.
That's because today's KU day. KU day.
I don't know if I like you. I don't know if I like you wearing
podcast.
A KU shirt after wearing an MU shirt like 2 weeks ago and K State the week. I don't know if I like you wearing a KU shirt. Carrington's mad at you wearing a KU shirt today as well.
Well, Carrington,
you got to pick an allegiance sometime, man. We got to narrow this thing down.
No, So again, for those of you who want to watch, by the way, the podcast is on video. Now I wore
your college football.
Correct. I wore the lavender purple last week for K-State.
Okay.
Today I'm wearing the KU shirt. Next week is Missouri Day on the 249 miles of college football podcast. Right. I will wear a Missouri shirt.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going along with the themes. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling. Look again. I every take I give you, I believe wholeheartedly. Kansas, I think, will beat K-State this year, and it'll be the reason K-State does not go to the Big 12 title game. I'm sorry, but that's what I think.
I hope you're right. But I hope you're right.
How much trash talk are you going to give if KU beats K-State?
It depends what kind of years
who's
KU
he trash talking to. He doesn't have any K-State friends.
So who's
who's he levying this trash talk on?
I don't know.
It also depends. It also depends the type of year KU's having. Is it for Kansas to get their fourth win or their like seventh win? You know what I mean? Like, there's I feel like I'm pretty reasonable when it comes to this. Like the trash talk. If you beat a school and you only have, and it's the first time in a while, is a big deal. But if you ended up still only winning four games that year, then I don't think you should talk much bleep. You know what I mean? This goes back to our issue with Cincinnati sometimes, Drew. Like, you know, you beat Kansas City in a regular season game, but you didn't make the playoffs that year. I don't care. You know, it's the same kind of thing.
I think KU is going to have a good year.
I would love it.
I think there will be room for you to talk.
We'll see. I certainly think they're in the ballpark of 7-9 wins, but we'll see.
Little update on the Royals pitching this weekend, according to Jalen Thompson. They have decided Noah Cameron will start on Friday. Michael Lorenzen will return from the IL and start on Saturday. And then Ryan Berger, who's had two very good starts for the Royals, will start on Sunday, which means Q says Bailey Falter will head to the bullpen. No more starts for Bailey Falter.
Makes sense, actually.
You got Michael Lorenzen. I think you start him the rest of the way. Falter could still turn into a fifth starter for you. Hell, he could be Michael Lorenzen next year, hypothetically. But in that scenario, you keep Michael Lorenzen, the guy who gives you a better chance today as a starter in the rotation. Bailey Falter will head to the bullpen. He still
you think he was faltering
as
a starter? Is that what you're saying? Gotcha. Just checking. Thank you. Just
making a little too on the nose. I think everybody was waiting for that if he had a really bad start in his last one, but he didn't.
The first one he did.
Pretty bad in the first one.
It's Boston.
And he had a bit of a pitch control. Honestly, it's always the same thing. I'm interested to see if the stuff works better in the bullpen. Crank it up to 96 and let's see what you got. Maybe find out whether or not you need a, you need another starter, but nothing offensive.
Before we get to the trash of the day, we know yet again at Chiefs practice today, Hollywood Brown, as usual, not practicing. That's not going to change until we get closer to the season. Kareem Hunt was the new addition to the injury report. Quad contusion. Okay, it's a bruise. Let's hope that's all. I mean, it's a fancy word for a bruise. Hopefully, it's just very minor. As we mentioned to start the show, Andy Reid kind of hinted at the fact that Mahomes, Kelce, and maybe some other
Carson Steele
not going to really
Rashard
play.
Smith day.
Starting offensive line, yes, because again, some offensive linemen just have to play. You only have so many; they're going to have to play. But the wide receivers and the offensive line unknown to a certain extent out there. Does that concern you for where they can get to across the entire season?
Typically over the last couple of years, before the season starts, I've convinced myself this Chiefs offense is going to be electric. Here we go. They're going to be an unstoppable force. Kingsley and Hollywood. And look, injuries derailed it pretty early on for the Chiefs, but like they still had Rashee Rice. And you know, I didn't think Hollywood's had more than 600 or 700 yards last year. Between these still, I say, look, it's just still an unknown on the offensive line. We can be excited about Simmons all we want. There are no definitive answers there, or no definitive answers at left guard until we get there. And the wide receiver stuff. And I know Rashee Rice. I've just decided I'm just going to accept the 10th best offense this year. I've just settled in.
Hey, why are you throwing in the towel already?
I'm not throwing in the towel. I just said 10th best because myself up like three times and I like the weapons, but like Hollywood's not practicing and I don't know, man. Is it too soon?
Yes,
it's
too soon.
I'm just like settling into like, just be the 9th best offense.
Last week we had the back and forth about, hey, if their defense is like 7th and the offense is 10th, is that good enough to win a Super Bowl? And I said, yes, I think you said no. So today you're saying you think you're basically...
I'm banking on the defense now, you know?
Interesting. Look, do I think the offense is going to end up being top 5? No, I don't think so because Rice is going to miss 4+ games, we all think. And we're still waiting for that news, by the way, on a suspension.
It'll probably come today at like 1 o'clock.
I told you it should happen at 6 o'clock, right when the Taylor Swift New Heights episode drops. That way, would be
smart of Raj.
We'll see. Without Rice for a significant period of time this year, I don't know how across the entire 18 weeks they can be a top 5 offense. Can they be a top 5 offense the back half of the schedule? I think there's a chance. If I had to predict the exact spot right this second that the offense in a points per game base is going to be,
finishes.
I would say they're 9th.
Okay, so you're in the same spot as
me. If I had to predict. But you're saying, you're not even giving them any chance.
It feels like...
I think there is... Like you're
I've
saying
set myself
that
up. You know what this is? This is like, set my expectations lower and then happy to be pleasantly surprised this time. My problem is that it already feels like it's off to a kind of ominous start. And the offensive line, we just don't know. Like, that's not ominous in any way. If anything, it's trending up, right? Because you'd think, by all accounts, Simmons is kind of a dude. But we don't know that for sure until I watch him in a regular season game and we actually have to witness it. The wide receivers are off to an ominous start. And I'm worried we're up for 8 games of Xavier Worthy and Tyquan Thornton. And if it's that, well, then they're kind of the same as they were last year. It's Justin Watson and Xavier Worthy. Now, Worthy be certainly more polished than he was in the early part of last season. But if you remember, even when Worthy came around and got back to where he was, the offense still had a lot of the same problems, which is drive stalled out, no big plays. They cut everything close to the line of scrimmage. I'm just prepared to be bored by this offense again, too.
Really?
You know, where it's all 7 yards, six yards from the line
this
of scrimmage.
Is where
I hope I'm wrong,
yeah,
honestly.
This is where
I'm trying to like mentally prepare for that.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying from week one they're just going to go out there and in first 2 weeks of the season score 38 points a game and we're like, oh my gosh, here we go. I hope so as well. I just think the left tackle situation, and you're right that we don't have the definitive answer, but I think I know who the solution is, and I think they have the solution. To what extent is that player going to be immediately? We'll find out. But Josh Simmons is, to me, going to stabilize the left tackle spot for this offense. And what does that mean for Mahomes? I think it's a huge boost for him and the opportunities down the field. And the check down stuff, to me, a lot of that gets solved if he actually has trust, belief, and time from his starting left tackle instead of having a new left tackle three times in one season, which is what it was last year. It was Kingsley, it was Wanye, it was obviously Joe Tooney at the end of the season.
It was four or five. By the time, I think it was like there was another weird one that started. I feel like it ended up being four.
Well, obviously Kingsley week one, Wanye. Then Wanye, and then Tooney. Who was the?
There was a fourth.
Really?
Am I wrong? Maybe not.
He's had five in five Super Bowls. That's what you
he's
mean.
Definitely, yeah. No, he's definitely in five Super Bowls. I was thinking there was one other guy who randomly got started over there. Maybe not.
There
was the injury.
They brought in Humphreys for one game.
There was another guy who started.
DJ Humphreys played three quarters, then got hurt, and we never saw him. And he's now in like LA with the Rams.
I think. No wonder we couldn't remember
his
name.
DJ Humphreys, three quarters.
Four different starting left tackles last year.
That is why
that's why they didn't throw the ball of any kind of depth.
I think it was part of it. No.
Because the yards per target have gone down in like three or four consecutive.
In the Super Bowl, the offensive line got dominated and the routes, like there was no success in route running at all, or winning routes, I should say, or anything like that. But yeah, I think the offensive line is a huge part of the equation to fixing the offense being big play.
Sure.
The rest, we're going to find out.
Trash of the day.
All right. Another Chuck E. Cheese one.
What? Yeah. After we talked about adult arcade Chuck E. Cheese.
Another Chuck E. Cheese one for you guys.
All right.
This one involves firefighters and a Chuck E. Cheese.
That's never a good start.
So this was in Burbank, California. Firefighters rescued a woman that was trapped inside a Chuck E. Cheese game. Like one of those actual games. So they arrived on the scene. There was a woman who had managed to get stuck inside one of the games called Snowy Day or Snow Day. I don't know. It's where a player enters a clear tube and places balls for points and tickets. The woman, though, placed her arm into...
Trying to cheat?
The hole not intended for body parts of the game.
What now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I need to look up this.
So they were stuck?
Her arm got stuck inside, like, the plastic tubing.
Oh, jeez. My God, man, that would be
so. And so they had to call firefighters, I'm guessing, to, like, saw the tubing or whatever.
That would genuinely be one of the most embarrassing things that could happen to you.
You tried to cheat in a Chuck E. Cheese for your kid. Cody, imagine your kid won something in the claw machine.
Like a ski ball and a Chuck E. Cheese.
It wasn't the kid whose arm got stuck, it was the...
The adult.
The adult. Oh, well,
it said specifically.
Adult.
It,
woman.
It said a woman. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not a child.
Much worse.
There's a photo of it, because obviously the firefighters weren't going to do it. Uh-huh. We're going to just show up. And yeah, you can see her. She's just sitting there. Oh man.
Were they allowed to continue playing games?
Long?
I think there's got to be a follow-up.
How long do you think she
the headline
had to sit
says.
There? How long do you think she had to stand there?
The woman had to sit on her knees to even fit inside the capsule, which was designed for young children. The game is only supposed to last a few minutes, but the woman's attempt to cheat the system turned into what was supposed to be just a quick game into a nearly 1 hour incident after her arm became caught in the narrow tunnel not intended for body parts.
The game
was created for very young children. There's video of this. Firefighters safely freeing the woman from the booth with other customers watching the rescue.
You ever cheated in an arcade game? You ever like have somebody throw a ski ball up there?
No, I don't think so, because I don't even, most of, I don't know, like if you, you know, a lot of them were more the, like, they weren't pop a shot. It was like the claw machine. I don't know how to cheat on that.
On the claw machine, yeah. I mean, I guess you could stick your arm up through the prize thing.
Yeah. The only time I guess I tried, you know, the one where like you put quarters in and eventually you're trying to knock all the coins down.
Try to shake that machine.
Try to get a little wiggle. Well, you know, that, by the way, that was one of my favorite, like everybody loved that game, right? Because you think you're so close to knocking all the, all the tokens or whatever, and you're not. It's obviously rigged. I swear that one's rigged.
I've never seen anybody win it.
Have you ever seen all the coins come flying down?
Absolutely not.
Not once.
Nope.
Never seen all those tokens. They've got like essentially that version of like Vegas too. I've seen those like the adult version of that gold where you put in like cash and it like drops a thing. And it's
Dave and Buster's that wants to do it the actual real money version?
Chuck E. Cheese has an adult themed arcade here, but yes.
It's not open yet though, right?
Dave and Buster want to do the cash.
Dave and Buster's was the betting one, right?
They're building. I don't think it's open, is it?
I think it's just open. Yeah.
The adult Chuck E. Cheese, whatever. What did they say they're going to call it again?
Chuck's Arcade, right?
Chuck's Arcade. That's right. That is right.
Chuck's Arcade.
Drew's going to be speaking French, going up to people and speaking in French at Chuck E. Cheese and Chuck's Arcade.
That would be really weird.
Oh, this has opened its first ever, so maybe it is open.
Oh, wow. Where is it? Like Chuck's Chicago Arcade. Or something? Or like LA?
No, there's one here, man.
Oh.
There's one in Kansas City. We could go to Chuck's Arcade.
Should we do a Cody and Gold?
Let's go to Chuck's.
For your 30th birthday?
Drew, there you go. Your 30th at Chuck's.
Chuck's Arcade is open right now. We could go to Chuck's Arcade till 9 p.m. They're not letting us stay, really.
Is Pasquale there? You can meet him.
It's by the Ward Parkway Mall. It's in the Ward Parkway Mall.
Hey, that would be hilarious, actually, to do it for my...
Really?
That is my 30th birthday.
Interesting.
It's not going to happen, though, but...
It's inside the mall.
Well, it's... I don't know. I don't know if it's in that
newer area.
Annexed area that's like kind of the side where there were some restaurants and stuff. Okay. Chuck's Arcade, man. It exists.
Well, let's go. Let's go.
You guys want to go out for Drew's 30th birthday? This has to be an unsanctioned event. Well, yeah. I know we said we do sanctioned event. This would have
let's
to just
to
be
Chuck's.
Like, we're casually telling you we're all going to be at Chuck's Arcade for Drew's 30th.
I'm down. Check it out.
What's your exact birthday?
October 21st. It is the start. Hang on. Do they have TVs with games on? Because it's also the start of the NBA season.
You can miss.
I mean, I'm sure they
one of game 82.
I'm sure they got TVs. Man, can I get like an unlimited wristband?
Dave and Buster's, they would have TVs, but I think we might have to make this happen.
Looks like they got Halo and NFL Blitz. They got some like vintage games.
Ooh, NFL
too.
Blitz. NFL Let's Blitz. Go.
And some of the vintage animatronics.
Ah, it's the place that used to be Hertz Donuts.
Oh, I know exactly what it is. Yeah.
If they don't have that pirate game,
all right, let's do it.
If they don't have that pirate
October,
ship game with the wheel,
what day of the week
I'm
is
disappointed.
That?
October 21st.
October 21st.
It's like a Tuesday.
I think we go.
We go to Chuck's Arcade?
Why not?
Check
that is
account.
The trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour.
We're going to put it in our calendars now?
Yep, including
a detail calendar,
a teaser clip from the New Heights episode tonight, and Taylor Swift delivered quite the line. Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Get back into some of the quarterbacks in the league after the top four. We won't get into a whole we've done that, or we won't do that until we get into the season and we see how these guys perform.
Despite the fact they had Mahomes and Joe Burrow tied for first.
Basically tied at first makes no sense. There's no 1A, 1B, but whatever. Coming up in 25 minutes, we'll hand things off to Vern. His On Deck show as the Royals send Seth Lugo to the bump, trying to get a sweep. Boy, do they need it. Of the Washington Nationals. The Nationals it sounds like they announced that Dylan Cruz tomorrow will be called back up. So luckily the Royals avoid Dylan Cruz. He's been on the IL since like May. One of the bright young stars in the league. Dealt with an oblique injury, so the Royals do not have to deal with that today. There's no reason they should not win this game and sweep. That bullpen of the Nationals is the worst in all of baseball.
I think Bobby's going to hit a homer. Royals are going to get a win, and we're going to feel good about ourselves.
I'll take it. I'm looking forward to going out there. Nice little day game. Sometimes when we have these shorter shows, we head out to the K. So be out there with a couple of friends. Should be nice just to hang out at Kauffman Stadium. Hopefully see a victory. We know tonight at 6:00, New Heights, brand new episode. Of course, it's the episode that has Taylor Swift on. First time she's done a podcast. This has been Something that people have been hoping would happen at some point. The two of the most popular people on planet Earth, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, obviously together, Jason Kelce.
Andy Reid said he's not going to watch it. He's old.
Yeah, he said his grandkids will be all about that or whatever. There's a lot of people listening that have daughters. There's a lot of people, because you're a Chiefs fan, that now you're a Taylor Swift fan, right? We've seen how it's grown the sport in the NFL. Mark Donovan has talked very openly about their biggest growth area is among female fans. It was already trending that way with the sport in general, but obviously Taylor Swift has brought in so many fans. So they did a teaser clip this morning.
The way that Jason Kelce does the big intros for everybody who comes on the show, right? He lists their accomplishments. You might remember the one for Wayne Gretzky because he got a lot of accomplishments.
So here's what it sounded like. And listen to the final line from Taylor Swift, because I know there's somebody out there right now that's fuming, and it's, their blood pressure just went up because we mentioned Taylor Swift. This is for you.
Our guest today is a singer, songwriter, and producer and director from Nashville, Tennessee. That's bullshit. She is from Reading, Pennsylvania. She is the most awarded artist in the history of the American Music Awards, Billboard Music Awards, and iHeart Radio Music Awards.
Yeah, damn.
She has 14 Grammy Awards and is the only artist in the history to win Album of the Year 4 times. Last December, she wrapped up the Eras Tour, which spanned 149 shows across 51 cities, 5 continents, and was the most attended tour of all time.
Of all time.
I'm still going. Hold on. Her last album, The Torture Poets Department, set a record with 1.76 billion streams globally within the first week alone.
All right.
In the first week?
And as a fan of that guy on the Chiefs, she has 19 wins, 2 AFC titles, and a Super Bowl. 92 presenters, are you ready for it? Making your podcasting debut, the most aggressive guest in the history of shows, Taylor Swift!
Yeah, intro, Jason. Oh, my God.
I've seen this before.
No, look, his soul has left his body.
I'm cramping.
That was so good. Thank you.
I tried, Tay.
Thank you for screaming for like 47 seconds. That was so nice. That was so sweet.
Tay, welcome to New Heights.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on my favorite podcast. As we all know, you know, you guys have a lot of male sports fans that listen to your podcast. Yeah. And I think we all know that if there's one thing that male sports fans want to see in their spaces and on their screens, it's more of me.
Incredible line. That's for the Chads and Brads out there that are fuming and the blood pressure went up.
Flex a little bit with that laundry list of accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, she's a pretty accomplished musical artist, it turns out.
Just a little bit.
That thing is still going to do absolute
100 million numbers. Podcast views, don't you think? YouTube views, I don't know what to expect, but the actual podcast downloads going to be over 100 million, don't you?
I really
believe?
Only want 2 things out of it. I'd love a little peek inside of, like, how they've been getting along this entire time, and Jason to kind of poke and prod at the relationship stuff, because that's interesting because they've been together for so long, but are rightfully private because they kind of have to be. And then I'm curious to know her. I kind of want to know the football knowledge. Is that crazy?
No,
I want them to test Taylor's football knowledge a little bit. We know the album stuff and all that's going to be in there, but those are the 2 things I'm kind of interested in. I wanted to tell an Andy Reid story or something, you know? Give me a little behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, the GQ article gave a little bit of that insight with Travis. He's on the cover. I'm sure a lot of you are aware of that. It happened yesterday, and talked about how, like, she's all about, like, even situational stuff in football. She's well aware of injury reports and everything like that. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll talk some football. I don't know. I wonder how long the interview is.
I don't know.
Or essentially interview, because nobody in this episode is there to hear Travis Kelce talk. This one is. People are there to hear Taylor Swift talk.
I like that in all of the little preview stuff they've done, they've done nothing but use matches our eyes, or he called her Tay Tay, or he called her. And you can hear that they are people who know each other. Patrick Mahomes at the podium today, he said that Travis and Taylor FaceTimed Brittany right after they recorded the episode.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Like, kind of giving them, like, hey, yeah, look what we're
happening.
Doing.
It's happening. Yeah.
And so, like, it's obviously just kind of ingrained itself in the team at this point. It's just like, it's a regular part.
Yeah, and you know, she's going to be at Arrowhead this year. Again, I understand. Like, look,
I know people.
People get upset. I don't know why. It's the same thing. When they show her on TV, it's so silly. Why people get upset about that? I'll say this if you're in Kansas City, here's what I don't care. Like, I understand, I guess, to a certain small extent, if you're a Bills fan or something and you're just because you hate the Chiefs. Okay. Yeah. But if you're in Kansas City, tell me why you don't think, one, it's just kind of fun and cool. Two, this is someone that now is part of Kansas City. Not only is she dating the best tight end in Chiefs history and maybe the best tight end in NFL history, but we all know when we've had some tragedy here in town over the last couple of years, she donated money to help support some of these families that have gone through some terrible things. She's made appearances at Children's Mercy. She's made herself part of this community as well.
They bought a house here.
So, you know, that's what I don't get. House, if you're in Kansas City, I do not know why you don't think this is not a great thing for this city.
Yeah.
And
it raises the profile of the city, which is good.
100% it does. 100% does. And I'll be curious to watch tonight too, because that one line she gave, like, we don't hear many interviews first, so her personality, like, we obviously know how talented she is, but personality-wise, I don't think we know a ton. Like, from
in her adult you know life, I mean? She's done so, way less. Like, when she was younger, she used to do the regular interview circuit in the TV market and the other stuff. Hell, I think she's been in this building doing, like, FM stuff when she was, like, in the early part of her career. But since she has got this level of popular, she's not an easy person to put on a show. She's not an easy person to get in an interview.
Did you see the funny tweet yesterday? So multiple social media departments are trying to take advantage of the fact that, you know, there was Taylor Swift news with the new album yesterday. And so I think it was the Carolina Hurricanes hockey team. They put out a tweet, and it was a screenshot of an email from a vice president within the Carolina Hurricanes organization. And it was like to their social media director. And it said, "Hey, have we ever tried to collaborate with Taylor Swift? It seems like that'd be a great idea." And it's a it's a hilarious tweet.
Oh, no.
No, nobody's ever thought of that before. Thank you.
Seems like it'd be a good fit. Yeah, probably.
And her billions of fans. Yeah.
That'd be like you and I. That's almost as bad as you and I saying, like, "Hey, have we considered trying to get Taylor Swift on our show?" I think that'd be good for ratings. They're like, "Well, I mean, yeah. It would be good for ratings if you and I could get Taylor Swift on the show."
Yeah, hey, Dusty and Bob, you guys did Kelce Day last week. Did you guys ever think of trying to get Taylor on your show that day?
I've genuinely considered if I could just get someone in a slip of language in the sense that they're confused and they respond is, what we should do is send Drew to the tunnel for every game she goes to for the Chiefs game this year. And he stands in the tunnel and then he just yells the same question until we get it. Be like, "Hey, what do you think about Cody and Gold?" And then I just need her to say, "Who's Cody and Gold?" Perfect. Done. That's all I need, Drew. I don't need her to know. I don't need her to say anything other than, "Who is Cody and Gold?" Perfect. Nailed it. Solved.
Oh, man.
What?
Oh,
Cody and Gold?
My goodness.
Done. Perfect.
Can you imagine if she's like, "I'm not sure who Cody and Gold is"? Like, mind blown.
Also, fine. You yelling that, and then that, her being confused about you asking about it is enough of a drop to live in this show's history forever, you know?
Someone says, "You guys ever think about getting the Pope on the air?" Yeah, you know, just never tried. Never tried.
He's also a Sox fan, right?
He's a Chicago sports fan.
Out in Chicago to see
White Sox fan.
He
That's
is a
crazy.
Big White Sox fan.
Somebody said that she's a big reason why people hate Kansas City, but we've said this before. Being a villain in the NFL is, as someone who is, for the first time ever in the Mahomes era, on that side, being the villain's fine.
No, you have to embrace
being
it.
Being a villain,
you have
who
to embrace
cares?
It. I was watching. So there's a lot of things happening this week for the Chiefs. You had Travis Kelce GQ cover tonight. We've got the New Heights episode with Taylor Swift coming out tomorrow. Kingdom, the Chiefs documentary. The first two episodes are out on ESPN. Then it's on Disney Plus. I sent you guys the link. I've watched two of the episodes already of Kingdom. And one of the things in one of the episodes that's mentioned is like when people start hating you, that's when you've really arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Chiefs organization has arrived over the last couple of years because people hate them. And yes, there are people out there that can't stand that the most popular woman on the planet is a Chiefs fan now. That has caused people to hate. I'm just saying, in Kansas City, I don't know why you wouldn't think this is a great thing for the city. It's cool, honestly. It's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun just to talk about. And yes, it to me, when she's in a suite at Arrowhead.
Travis, click his heels in the middle of a stage performance.
When she's in a suite at Arrowhead, that's pretty freaking awesome. That she's in Kansas City. There's we all know, like, in terms of markets, it's not the biggest NFL market. And because her boyfriend is on the Chiefs, she's now a massive Chiefs fan. It's not phony or anything like that.
It's very cool. It really is. I'll watch it tonight. Yeah, we'll give you a little quick review tomorrow to go with it. We were talking earlier in the show about Mike Sando. He put out his quarterback tiers list over at The Athletic. And we've agreed not, for any portion of this conversation, to make it about the top four guys.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get into the argument about that Burrow and Mahomes are 1A and 1B, and the other two guys are in tier one, but are listed as 3, 4, 5. It's fine. I don't want to get into that part. We kind of got into that yesterday a little bit, so there's no point. What I think my biggest takeaway from this list, because again, he has 50 people, and it's current head coaches, current NFL scouts, current general managers. It is the people who matter in the NFL, the people who make decisions. What ended up becoming so stunning to me is we have what I think is one of the worst imbalances of quarterbacks we've had in a very long time. Because the middle class, while deep, is not, the tier one is far too thin. And the tier two, not an ever-beating tier two. The NFL feels like it is full of tier three quarterbacks right now, is what I feel like. It's just everyone who is the Trevor Lawrences of the world. It's just a makeup of mediocrity to a sense that I haven't seen, I feel like, in a long time in the NFL, where there's a wide gap between the first five and everyone else.
There is, but like Mike Sando, when he tiered this out, I think he needs to truncate tier two and expand tier three, and then tier five tier five should not just be Kenny Pickett. So like, for example,
Kirk Cousins in tier five. Yeah,
tier two should not, I think there's like 11 quarterbacks in tier two. It should not be that. It should be like Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, you know, Matthew Stafford. They have in tier one, but put them in tier two, then stop tier two. Then tier three to me is Baker Mayfield, Trevor Lawrence. And now you'll say, well, Baker's better than Trevor. Sure. Just because someone's in the same tier does not mean there's not still gaps within a tier, right? We're not going to have 20 numbers. Tiers. You know what I mean? Like,
otherwise, I should just rank them 1 through 32.
Correct. So yeah. I just think in his list, I would have had tier two only have like 3 quarterbacks or 4 quarterbacks. And then I would have had a pretty large tier three. Tier four would have been basically Russell Wilson, essentially, and like one or two other vets. And then tier five would be Richardson, Jones, Kenny Pickett, et cetera.
Yeah, that would be the final list, tier four or whatever. That'd just be the guys who, like, you actively do not want to be a starter for your NFL team. And that does include guys like Anthony Richardson. But tier three is kind of, it is the largest tier three in the entire time I've watched the NFL. Everyone feels like they're stuck paying, and everyone's paying their quarterbacks. That's what's crazy. Everyone's stuck paying their Trevor Lawrence quarterback $200 million, paying Brock Purdy $200 million, $300 million, $400 million for incredibly mediocre play, because that's where everyone in the NFL is. That's why I think the consistency at the top guys, the Mahomes, the Jacksons, the Allens, these guys, that's why it's easier than ever for them to perform consistently. And why, like, for, I'm only bringing it up for this, why we've been a little more critical of Burrow's inability to stay at that top, because you guys have an advantage. The teams who are paying big-time money to big-time quarterbacks right now should have a massive advantage, because tier two is thin and tier three is the rest of the NFL, and they keep paying those guys.
Except, yes, I agree with that. Like, except, Tua, except you're, you would say Purdy,
those guys.
Except, yeah. Except right this second, like if you're Stroud in the Texans or you're Jaden Daniels in the Commanders,
you get the advantage.
You are still on the rookie deal. I think Stroud's, this is probably the last year. He'll be due for a big payday, especially if he has a nice year.
And if he just has a regular year like he did last year, he'll be a tier three guy. He'll get $200, $300 million, the same as these other guys.
Yeah, and I know it's 1 year for Jaden Daniels, and so he could have a drop-off. We'll all find out this year. But if you're the Commanders, you got to take advantage of the fact that he's on a rookie contract. There's some urgency there to do it. And I'm sure the Texans feel that way with Stroud, although they've just dealt with some really pitiful offensive line play. And then the Tank Dell injury is just extremely unfortunate. That was brutal.
I think the whole quarterback situation too is interesting. Like Cody, you brought up there, it's just the way that it is, but there haven't been, like, this upcoming quarterback class. We say this every year, it feels like, but this year in particular, it feels like there's 4, 5, 6 guys, maybe even, who have first round caliber talent that could get drafted. Where if you look even in years, like, in the year that Burrow, Tua, and Herbert were picked, like, Herbert's fine, but he's been paid. Tua's been paid, but they have Tua where? At 18 or 19 on this list? Like, even though guys are considered top-tier guys coming out of the draft, they're not hitting at the rate where...
It's just a bunch of Derek Carrs.
There's not more top-heavy guys. There's nobody that's really jumping into that top tier. Maybe Jaden Daniels we'll have to see, or Caleb Williams we'll have to see, but it feels like they're just by default of the amount of quarterbacks coming out into the draft... You're going to have more tier three and tier four quarterbacks than you will tier two or tier one.
Let me get your answer again. Who's the name of the five or seven quarterbacks? Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, JJ McCarthy. I'll put Trevor Lawrence in this group as well. those four or five guys that has the biggest chance this time next year for us to be saying, wow, they might be tier two. They might be one of those really special guys. It's tough because based off of last year, people think you're crazy to say Caleb Williams, but based on the situation with an offensive mind
this year,
I think Caleb Williams has a chance to elevate how most people view him drastically. McCarthy, we know they elevated Sam Darnold. So you're like, hey, if Kevin O'Connell can elevate Sam Darnold, why can't JJ McCarthy do it? It's just, he's basically a rookie this year. That's what's tricky. We saw him play one preseason game last year. And I'm just very skeptical on McCarthy. I love Kevin O'Connell and what they have there. I just don't know. We haven't seen much of him. And in college, he didn't look like the explosive quarterback with making big play after big play. That's not what they asked him to do.
I just think he's in the single best situation.
Yes.
Best weapons, best situation, best coach to get the most out of him. That's all. That's why I feel like he could have that C.J. Stroud rookie year or like slightly below that, and people would be ready to put him in tier two. Because they put C.J. Stroud in tier two after 1 year. They put Jaden Daniels in tier two after year one. Put up some good numbers in year one.
Hey, do you want to hear me say up next is Vern's On Deck show in French?
Yes.
In just a second.
Okay, hold on.
Coming up tomorrow, though, we are going to talk about the Kingdom Chiefs documentary. It comes out tomorrow. Someone was asking, how have we seen it? They sent media some screeners so we can talk about it ahead of time, and we will tomorrow on the show. Two episodes out tomorrow. We will discuss those, plus obviously what happens tonight on New Heights. We'll have Josh Verner join us. But that's going to do it for us today.
À suivre, l'émission En Deck de Verne.